Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
This is Fesco and Dusty.
I got Mahomes' balls in my hands.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh yeah, football, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
All right, rolling through Tuesday morning here, 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco with you. Dusty is off today. He will be back tomorrow here on 96.5 The Fan. Tomorrow, of course, we'll talk a little college football with Jay Binkley. I see Drew's in there as well.
Oh, yeah, he's ready to go. He just got a new college football preview book.
Oh, which one did he get?
By Brett Cianca?
I don't know.
Yeah, apparently this is Josh Pate's new guy. Josh Pate said you should buy this.
Okay.
You should buy this one. And so he's like, all right, I'm going to listen to Josh Pate and buy it.
Okay.
And he was showing me it's depth. It's got some depth to it for sure.
Is it better than Phil Steele?
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steele's Texas High School Preview Magazine.
That's the one that he used to get, so he said he'll tell me which one's better.
Okay, because the Phil Steele one has fakes out there now. People are selling fake.
What?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's been bad.
Oh, bad.
What? And Amazon people are ordering them. They're coming. What is this? And
get back.
Like, I didn't send that. Four different places have had fake Phil Steele Texas High School. If you don't know, and most people don't, Phil Steele puts this magazine out every year in the state of Texas, previewing every single Texas high school football team. It is an incredible read. I mean, it is
That's crazy.
Of the most in-depth things you will ever see. Just do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
If you're down in Texas on business and you see it on a newsstand or you're there on vacation or hell, order it, just get this thing. I mean, when this thing used to arrive, Binkley would take his pants off.
Of course he did.
You know?
There's juice all over the place.
Yeah, so that's... That is quite a publication, the Texas High School Football Phil Steele Preview. It's unbelievable because you think about Texas, obviously high school football is huge, but I mean, there's like 800 high schools in Texas. Every single one gets a roster breakdown. No matter if you're the biggest or the smallest, they're breaking down your roster.
That's so much. But hey, football is religion down there.
So I mean, it just means more.
It does, they say, right? Yes.
Let's do Start Bench Cut.
Here's Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start Bench Cut.
All right, Start Bench Cut's all brought to you by my friends over at Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and use Jay's Southland Tow. These guys are the best. I talk about it all the time. When my daughter had their wreck, they sent out Rusty, their safety guy, took care of everything for us. Then the tow truck came. An unbelievable experience with Jay's Southland Tow.
Yeah, I haven't used them, but my friends have, and I've recommended them to them when they've been in trouble.
You don't want to use them.
Well, no, you never want to have to, but I had a friend who had to, and I said, all right, I know somebody, and then they called them, and they were like, dude, they were great.
Yeah, they're outstanding.
They're the best. All right, Start Bench Cut. I don't know in what aspect I put these three teams. I'm trying to remember my idea here. Let's just say for hatred,
okay.
Broncos, Chargers, Raiders.
Well, see, this is where the generation thing comes in.
So as far as
hatred, I'm starting the Raiders, benching the Broncos, cutting the Chargers. They're irrelevant. I assume you're going in a different order.
Yeah, I'll start the Broncos, cut the Raiders, or bench the Raiders and cut the Chargers.
Yeah. The Chargers just have never done enough to be warranted as a real rival right now in this division. It could change.
No, I've always kind of like, I don't know, I don't mind the Chargers. I liked Philip Rivers for a large part of it. There was a moment where
they were never a huge threat.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly right. I mean, in the time when they were great, I was too young to really, really be locked in. Those early 2000s teams were awesome with LT and stuff. But I just wasn't as locked in there when they had maybe the best offense in the league for one season.
Generation thing, you go, yeah, when they were great, I'm thinking of 80s and Dan Fouts. And you're
no, I love watching Dan Fouts clips, though. I do love watching Dan Fouts clips.
I'm like, oh, yeah, but Dan Fouts back in the day and Don Coryell and that air attack offense that was so awesome. Yeah, they were great. Oh, the 2000s.
Yeah, LT Gates. Fave rookie from preseason game number one.
Okay.
Emmett Johnson, R. Mason Thomas, Cyrus Allen, start bench cut.
Ugh.
I know, they were all awesome.
I'll start Johnson, Thomas, Allen.
Okay.
I'll bench nobody and I'll cut nobody.
I'll start Thomas.
I think R. Mason Thomas was the biggest.
Whoa. Here we go. Like, that's someone coming off the
edge. I wanted this guy for a year.
Please.
Thank God. OU. Way to go, Boomer Sooner. Kurt Nelson loves that.
Like, Karloftis has had his moments. He's had a good season or maybe a season and a half that's been really good. But someone with speed and bend off the edge, I didn't realize how much I wanted it and wished for it until I saw it. Just a flash of it in that preseason game. Starting him, benching him at Johnson. It was great to see a backup running back. Again, a backup running back.
Yeah.
Forced 10 missed tackles, almost as many as Pacheco did all last year. And I'll cut Cyrus Allen.
Wow, you're cutting a wide receiver in a position you think stinks. I love it.
I know. He did great. He did awesome. It's nothing against him. It's just those two other guys were just fantastic.
Yeah,
they
were
got
so
more reps.
Good. I mean, like, you're asking me to pick my favorite child at this
exactly.
point.
Exactly. Yes, I'm starting all of them. Okay, how about this? Sports months. Start bench cut. August, July, February.
So you're taking like the three worst months of sports,
yes.
right? All right. So let's look at this. I'm going to go February as I'm going to start February because in February, you still have the Super Bowl. You're gearing up for March Madness and spring training. So I'm going to start February. I am going to bench August because you got preseason football games. The college football stuff is starting to get big. The drama is out there with the NFL. It's all back. Remember the first day of the NFL season, we had that much drama,
yep.
you know, on day one. So I will bench July and or August, and then I will cut July because there's just nothing going on.
Nothing going on in July. Yeah. I don't know. I'll start February like you did. I will bench July and I will cut August. The reason I'll bench July is because it feels like we're getting closer to football and preseason hadn't quite started yet, so you get a bunch of takes. And once preseason actually starts, it's not as exciting as we all talk about
it. Yeah, because
it being,
all of our hot takes like get, you know, decimated because of the actual performance of these guys. You're like, I thought that guy was good. Oh, he's really good. Well, hell, there goes that topic.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather live in hypothetical what-if season for a little longer.
Okay.
August, to me, I'm just like, this isn't real, but it's not fake. And it's just a weird, weird month for sports, so I'm cutting August. How about best three sports months? Well, widely considered November, October, April.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, which one? Start, bench, cut. I think those are. That's, you know.
I mean, I'm wrong, text line. October is the best sports month. It really is. You got the World Series. You've got basketball and hockey getting started up. You're in the crux of the football season, both collegiately and at the pro level. October has everything going on. You get to November. Yeah, football's still there, but the newness of basketball and hockey has worn off. Baseball's over. It's just football at that point in time. I think October, I think April are good. June is becoming a really good sports month now as well.
June is becoming really good. I'll start November because the same things are true with football, still in the thick of it. You've got NHL and NBA kind of getting more serious, and you've got the World Series, so I'll start that.
No, November, the World Series is over. October is your World Series.
I think it now. Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Live?
Okay.
It's called the October Classic.
I'm aware. It's called March Madness.
it ends in April. In no, I think the last day of the World Series this year is slated to be on October 31st.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes it does spill over.
I was
going to
say, last year I know
November.
It spilled over into November.
But,
that's fair.
You know, just
fair.
That doesn't count as the month, though.
No, that's fair. I'll start October, then I'll bench November, and I will cut April, even though April's freaking awesome, too. Okay, how about this? Country club sports, ooh. Tennis, golf, swimming.
Yeah, I'm going to start swimming and bench tennis and cut golf.
Yeah, we'll do. Is this to watch? Are you doing to watch or to play?
All.
All? Okay. Yeah, I think I'll do the same order, but it's really close. Actually, no, I'll bench golf. I'll cut tennis, even though I really do like tennis. It's just less accessible for me. Mm-hmm. I can watch golf, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to a bar right now, that's going to be what's on in the afternoons. It's going to be golf. It's going to be a baseball game. So it's just going to be on. I'm going to be watching it, so I will bench that. But yeah, I wish we got to watch swimming more, honestly. I wish there was more. I wish it was more accessible and, popular. Swimming's great.
I think professional Olympic sports teams would be really cool.
Like, yes.
And I don't know how cool it would be, but I think it would be like watching when my kids were in junior high and they were doing track, watching the older kids run the 100-meter dash. I'm like, damn. That's awesome. Could you imagine like an Olympic team for every city where you had a swimming event, you had a sprinting event?
Hell yes.
I don't know. Just something different to throw out there. It's a 2-hour event. You're going to swim. You're going to run. You're going to do a couple of Olympic events and you go compete against another team and see where you end up.
Herbert, Hurts, Lawrence, before we get out of here.
I'll start Hurts. I'll bench Herbert. I'll cut Lawrence.
And I will start Herbert. Bench Lawrence, and I will cut Hurts.
There you go. Coming up here, this weekend, it matters the most. We'll tell you what it is next.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Alohi Gilman, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, back at it on a beautiful Tuesday. Beautiful fall football weather out there for everybody to enjoy. I mean, I haven't been out since, 5 o'clock this morning, so I'm assuming it's still beautiful outside. Looks nice outside today. Hopefully it's a little crisper out there and everybody's doing what they want and enjoying the beginning. Hopefully, maybe the beginning of fall, maybe not. We still have about another month to go.
Yeah, I think we'll get back in the 90s this week. But hey, today, high of what, 84, 85?
Yeah.
It's starting to creep down. I'll take it.
And you don't see the hundreds anymore across the schedule. Like I said, I looked at that 30-day forecast the other day, and opening night at Arrowhead, 75 and sunny. I mean, that's as perfect as you can get right there.
Hello,
75
America.
And sunny would be awesome, yes. awesome. Be
incredible.
But before we get there, we got to play this weekend's preseason game. And like, I don't know where I am on this preseason game. Mac, you say it's now the new dress rehearsal. I don't think you're wrong at all by saying this is the new dress rehearsal. I guess I just can't get with it being the new dress rehearsal. And I don't know if the team / players are even getting with it as their new dress rehearsal, because I don't know that you've done enough in camp to have a full true dress rehearsal this early into the preseason. And also, I mean, you still got a month to go before the regular season. It just seems early to me, you know? And you're not wrong by saying it has become the new third preseason game, but man, it just feels like we're rushing this right now. Again, not adding games. I don't want any more preseason games or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like we're already here at the second preseason game. I feel like we just started this stuff. We're going to have a dress rehearsal, then have another week and another preseason game.
Yeah.
And then bounce to the regular season 2 weeks later.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So you're 27 days away from when the Chiefs play. You're 22 days away from when the NFL season starts. It's three weeks
from tomorrow. Wow.
Yeah, 3 weeks from tomorrow is when the season starts to kick off. Yeah. So we're getting closer and closer, and you only can prep, you can only do what you have in front of you, right? And the NFL has truncated the preseason. We've all basically decided week three is the audition week. That's when you're going to see your Melvin Smiths. That's when you're going to see your Chew Godricks. That's when you're going to see your name, your Peyton, your Brenning Stools, who looked really good in week one, I will
say. Hey, he's going to be the guest today with Alex and Cody up at camp. Yeah,
yes.
You got Jake Brenning Stool. How jealous are you?
Let's go. I am jealous. God, I love that guy.
They should ask him if he's bringing a stool.
I love that. It never gets old, Bob. No, I love that guy. I actually think he looked really good in week one. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Jared Wiley made a good catch, so it's probably still going to be Wiley as tight end three. But either way, you only have as much time as in front of you, and this is what it is. So this is the one game where I want everyone to play. I think we'll get a lot of people playing, and we are getting training camp updates here as the day has kind of started, and we're kind of rolling along here in the morning. Josh Simmons not in pads today.
Probably a day off. He had to play with the third team yesterday. Did you see that story?
I did, yeah.
With all the injuries that they had along the offensive line or whatever it was yesterday, Josh Simmons was playing with the third team. I mean, now we talk injuries. We had Esapole. He was taken away because of dehydration. Did you see how fast that cart drove off the field?
Dude, Yeah, I saw someone saying, is Rashee Rice driving the Dodgers? Yeah,
I didn't see
that. I'm like, dude, slow down.
That thing was motor.
My
so they needed, obviously, they needed to get an IV in him fast. So that's why Josh Simmons has today off, because he was playing with the third teamers yesterday, and he's like, all right.
Yeah,
you did a solid yesterday, bro. We'll give you the day off today, you know?
Drew Tranquil back in pads.
Okay, that's good.
That's very, very good. Yep. And it looks like Trey Smith, still no pads for Trey Smith. So Trey Smith, Josh Simmons not there. Chamari Connor, safety Chamari Connor, back in pads today as well. And so there are a couple early developments. And from our guy Matt McMullen, Mahomes lands at number 18 on the NFL top 100.
Oh, okay. Number 18. That's fair. I don't think that's a slight right now based on last, and we're basing it off of last season.
Last
you know,
season,
is what
yes,
they do.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at these jokers that make this list and you're like, what, how is Tyreek Hill was the number one player in the league last year? Right? Wasn't that last year? Or is that 2 years ago?
2 years ago now. I think it was 2 years ago now. I think that was our first full football season together.
That's like horseradish.
Yeah. Well, either way.
This is what they base it on.
Last season, yeah. Mahomes missed games. He got, I think, 6-11. That's 18. Actually, I thought he'd probably be lower based on, you know, the way that some of these folks vote and decide to go about those things. But no, I think you're right. I think when you start to look at, you know, the second preseason game, you want to get as much work in as possible and then take that body of work and build on it for the next couple of weeks, right? And that's what you want to do. All right, here's what we're doing well. Here's what we need to work on. Let's take what we're doing well and really excel at this and make it better than what it is. And let's take what we need to work on and get it to something that we can say, all right, we're doing well. And so by the time this preseason game is over with on, what, Saturday, you'll have 3 weeks and 2 days essentially before your next game that matters, right? Before the opener. So you'll have 23 days after this preseason game to get yourself ready. And look, that's a really nice amount of time to get ready for the Denver Broncos and to kind of compartmentalize things and figure out and start to put together the first 15 and all of this kind of stuff that you need for that home opener. So yeah, I think you're right. I'm just having one of those moments where I'm like, damn, it's already that second preseason game. I don't feel like we've practiced enough.
No, I know. It just started. The camp is literally about to end this week, and then eventually we're already here. It's like right away. We're dress rehearsal, get ready. All the guys need to be playing. And yeah, that's how quick it happens now. 913 says, yeah, they rush everything now. Sam's Club has Christmas items out already.
Well, it's funny, yeah, because my mom sent a picture from the Costco where she lives, and it was all the Halloween stuff out already. Hy-Vee had the Halloween candy out last week. I was like, oh, those pumpkin Reese's peanut
butter. Oh, my gosh, yes. So good.
Because those are out at Hy-Vee now. I'm just going to tell you.
You shouldn't have told me that.
You get the Hy-Vee, get your Reese's.
It's
pumpkins.
August. I can't be eating those for 2 months.
Yeah, you can. Because before you know it, the Christmas candy is going to be out.
I know. And then, yeah,
and then you're going to have, and it's not going to be the pumpkins. It's going to be Christmas trees for Reese's. So you got to get your pumpkins while you can at this point in time. But no, again, you're right. I think this game is important. I think this game does matter. You can kind of find some stuff that you want to do well and build on that and really start to kind of build on everything that you've been doing so far, you know, this preseason. They've done a nice job running the ball. They've been under center. Like, again, this is what I said when the season ended. I told you Andy is going to do everything that we've wanted him to do because that's what he's done. The times that we, and I say the collective we as a fan base, have called for things, they have fixed it. Changing the defense, changing the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And we sat here and we talked about that running game and they need to go under center more. And they're doing it, man.
Yes.
Like, for a 68-year-old head coach, there is nobody more innovative with the times, changing with the times, than Andy Reid. Yeah, the young guys do it all the time because they're young guys. A guy who's coaching this league, who's the winningest coach potentially of all time here real soon, is doing more changing than anybody. And I love it. It is so good to watch Andy Reid. He's a metaphor for everybody. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been doing your job. You can always change. You can always get better. And you can always listen to others. And I think that's the biggest thing that we're taking away from this offseason is Andy listened. He listened to everybody. He listened to us on the radio. He listened to fans. He listened to Brett. He listened to Mark. He listened to Clark. He listened to everybody and made all those changes. And I think that's refreshing.
Well, yeah, and it's refreshing as a fan. I think it's probably refreshing for the team, for guys like Mahomes and those other guys that have been here for a minute to go, okay, we're changing some stuff up. I mean, because just like we know it and we saw all those videos, they're watching way more film than we are. They knew they were predictable last season.
Oh, yeah.
They knew defenses were prepared. And from
but
going
what were they supposed to do now looking back, right?
For sure. I understand it. I get it. It's why sports are hard, right? Because you think, okay, we're on the top. We're just going to keep this up. And then eventually you're not on the top anymore. And you're going, okay, well, we probably could have seen that. Hindsight's 2020, all those sorts of things.
You have to be honest with yourself too. And I will say this, and I'm sorry to jump in. The Chiefs have done a great job of being honest with themselves too. And admitting that, man, this isn't going in the right direction. You got to be honest with yourself and realize, hey, we may be on top, but it's not going to be forever, and we've got to change what we're doing. I think Andy Reid, and I'm talking about Andy, I think he was as honest with himself as he's ever been this offseason.
Yeah, I would think so as well. And it looked like in week one of the preseason game, it looked like a refreshed, renewed offense. You mentioned under center, play action, all those things were happening. In order for this team to succeed, Andy Reid's got to be able to change. You mentioned bringing in new voices. Yeah, being able to actually listen to those voices is huge too. So a guy like Eric Bieniemy, who he trusts and respects, yes, it is the same old voice, same old face that we've had here before. Absolutely. But if it means that he's actually going to be able to get in Andy Reid's ear and say, hey, listen, this is what we've got to do. I've been watching your team these last couple of seasons. You strayed away from a couple of things, Big Red. Like, let me help you out. Let me get back to what I can do best, and let's get this run game back. Here we go.
And I'll say this, too, about Eric Bieniemy as we're kind of talking. I think one of the most important things to have, if you're a leader of an organization, whatever it is that you do, you need a no man. Mm-hmm. You need somebody that's going to push back and not be afraid to tell the boss, wrong!
Yep.
And that's Eric Bieniemy. He's not afraid to do that. And I think, you know, him yelling about the penalties, that's why we brought him here. We talked about it yesterday. But if he can be a no man to Andy Reid, that may be the biggest gift that Andy's ever received for somebody to go, uh-uh, and here's why, and the challenge, and to give Andy a different perspective. That's invaluable, because a lot of times we see these CEOs, just go back to Christmas Vacation. The guy's walking through, everybody's following, Merry Christmas, kiss my ass, kiss your ass, kiss his ass, you know, all of that. Yeah. Like a lot of these rich guys, a lot of these powerful guys, they just, you know, have a bunch of yes men surrounding them. The guy who has the no man right next to him is the guy that achieves success. And Andy Reid's got his no guy back in Eric Bieniemy. And from that standpoint, that's good. Because I think Andy realized that, too. I need somebody to challenge me, not just agree with everything that I do.
Yeah, not just say, yeah, I did a great job, great job, great right. job. Here's Connor Embry, who doesn't know anything. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, here's all these guys. Right. Todd Pinkston doesn't know anything. Matt Nagy's been here for a minute, probably gotten a little comfortable.
Right.
Said, yeah, all right, let's keep it up. And now you've got a guy like Eric Bieniemy who can actually play the bad cop, mm-hmm. Which is tough to do, too, for
it's
Eric Bieniemy. Like,
do.
That sucks.
And like, you have to have the right demeanor to be the bad cop. Matt could never be the bad cop. He's not a bad guy. That Eric Bieniemy's a bad guy, but he's got that hard-ass side to him, you know?
He's got the hard-ass side to him, and Matt Nagy's just as cool as a cucumber, and that's a way different personality than what Bieniemy is.
Quarterback versus running back, too, because as a quarterback, when Matt was playing, you got to be cool, you got to be calm. As a running back, you got to be an explosive dude, and Bieniemy was an explosive running back, man. He used to run people over.
So we knew what Saturday was. It was the beginning of changes from Andy Reid, and we need to see that continue with the starters. And I'll also add, against starters, that Rams team is a thin, thin Rams roster. So those second strings that they were playing, maybe third strings on some other deeper teams. I'm not saying the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are some amazing deep roster and they're going to have a great 53, but it is a little bit more well-rounded. They are going to have some guys out there. We'll see if Chris Godwin plays. Emeka Egbuka still with a toe strain, so Emeka Egbuka will not play. Baker Mayfield's going to start.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield's going to play. So for those defensive guys, especially those young guys, Mansoor Delane, obviously he's not in this veteran conversation, but even like a guy like Chris Jones, I think it's important for Chris Jones to play because Peter Woods is playing a different position when Chris Jones isn't on the field. He's one tech versus two tech. He's going to be taking less double teams. In order for us to see Peter Woods and what he is and what this defensive line is with R. Mason Thomas, with Carl Loftus, you need all those guys together. I hope Josh Simmons is out there. Obviously, no pads today. Trey Smith, no pads again today. I doubt we see Trey Smith out there.
No, Trey won't play in that game.
Which is fine, man. So we won't see the full starting offensive line until week one. We need to see all those guys. Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. Like, hey, you there were a lot of memes on Chiefs Twitter this weekend about, hey, like these guys are laughing and acting like, yeah, they've really earned their spot. No, you haven't. And they need to go out there and play this week. That, in my opinion, 87. I'm sorry. Like, I need to see everyone out there that can play this weekend, because this is the final opportunity to do so. And in a year that this team's undergone a plethora of changes, you've got to be able to now see that in action.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Brady.
I mean, you and Tom ranting about these guys, you're football players and you need to play in the preseason. Like, when did Tom Brady get to be 80 complaining about that yesterday? And then here's Matt Maury channeling his inner Tom Brady. I need to see this guy and I need to see that guy.
I just do. I'm sorry, man. That's my old school take.
It is. But I think it's a lot of curiosity too, right? You just want to see it. You just want to be reassured. You really do. You want to be reassured that everything is going to be okay. The Travis is going to be fine. And, you know, him doing the move on, who was it yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Aloe Gilman.
Tore up Aloe Gilman.
I mean, sorry, wow. Aloe, man, but you got owned.
You got destroyed. Love you, brother.
I mean.
But, man.
I don't know that I don't know that I've ever seen something like that before. I mean, Travis has one move, and it's marvelous. But it's one move. Never go left on Travis. He's never going that direction.
Yeah. 913 says, Mac, I love you. Travis doesn't need to play. That's fine. If you want to take away the Travis Kelce part of it, fine. I'm okay with that. I would still play him for a series, to be honest. But Chris Jones should play for the reasons I mentioned. I think it's really important.
Yeah, coming off a bad season too, I think Chris needs to get out there and play.
Yeah, and you've got a whole new defensive line.
Yeah.
You've got guys that are going to be imperative to success. We need to see these guys together.
Continuity matters.
Yes, it does. It does. Like we're getting Peter Woods last week without Chris Jones next to him. It's just not a fair judgment of what Peter Woods is actually going to be. So whereas our Mason Thomas, his job doesn't change, right? It's one-on-one. Let's go get
the quarterback. You can see speed.
I can see it.
It doesn't matter who else is on the field. Speed stands out.
Yes.
And that's where our Mason Thomas is. That the speed of our Mason Thomas is like, whoa, okay. I don't care who's playing. That guy's fast.
Chiefs. So Jack Cochran not practicing today. Omar Norman Lott still on the PUP. Chamari Conner, Legarius Sneed, Andrew Tranquil all suited up in pads. Work today. And several offensive linemen are out today. Chu Godrick, Josh Simmons, Trey Smith, and Matt Wiletzko?
Yeah, Wiletzko had an injury yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, Andy led the press conference with Wiletzko's injury.
Okay.
I've never heard of that guy.
I'm sorry, Matt Wiletzko. I feel bad.
The only reason I have is because I, you know, saw the press conference and read the transcript, and you know, but I don't know who that fellow is.
I don't either.
Yeah, but again, a lot of these guys were down yesterday, and again, Josh Simmons running with the third team. That's why he's out today because you had two practices yesterday, bro. He really did.
Yeah, exactly. Which makes sense. He was a fifth round pick in 2022 from the Cowboys.
Who?
Well, let's go.
Will Let's Go is his last name?
Matt Will Let's Go.
Oh, Matt Will Let's Go. Well, let's go and let's see what go. This guy is.
It had to do it. So that's where I'm at. Yeah, Ken Walker, 913, a few carries. I mean, that's fine. Get him a couple plays, a carry or two maybe, but at least have him in, have him get some pass blocking. It's not the same because it's not Patrick Mahomes, but yeah, we should have everyone out there that can play. This is a brand new team. This really is. Mm-hmm. This is the newest team we've seen in the Mahomes era.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you'd like to see a little gelling and a little continuity. Yeah,
at least since 22.
Right, and we'll see. You know, the series is because that's what Andy. Yeah, listen, the starters will play the first half. One series,
5 minutes.
One series in 5 minutes. Who do you think is the most important player to fix this offense? Because for me, the entire offense this year starts and ends with Ken Walker III, and I'm not putting pressure on him. I'm saying. Him and that position more than anything, the four running backs that they have. I mean, right now you're looking at a running back room that's the best that Andy Reid has ever had in Kansas City with Ken Walker, rookie Emmett Johnson, Breshard Smith is doing some good things right now. This DeMercado guy may not even make the team, you know? So you've got yourselves a great group of running backs right now. And for me, the success and failures of this offense is all going to be predicated on how effective the running game is this year. And if it's not effective, then this offense isn't going to be that good. And if it's not effective, then we ask ourselves, why? Why wasn't it effective? Because now you have the talent. You have a Super Bowl MVP. You got what everybody says is a great offensive line. Why wasn't it effective? Did Andy run the ball? Did he do those things? Then you get into those conversations. So I think Kenneth Walker is the lead dog for me to make sure that this offense is successful. But I will put that whole running back group in there as well, because I think they're going to have a big say and should have a big say in the success and failures of this team.
Yeah, DeMercado, another name that we probably should see this upcoming week. He's been running with the twos and the ones a lot of the time, and he is the quote-unquote best pass blocker of the three guys not named Ken Walker. And the Chiefs usually carry four running backs on the team, so I imagine he's going to be a part of this rotation in some form. I'm with you on the Ken Walker, the starting and ending. I get it. Like, mm-hmm. he is extremely important to this offense succeeding.
Yeah.
But as far as fixing the offense is concerned, like, I still am going to put it on Rashee Rice in this passing game, because it does start and end with what 15 does. Yes, we're going to need Ken Walker, and there's going to be games where he does have 25 carries. But there will be a lot of games, and I know this isn't what a lot of people want to hear, but there will be games where he has 12 to 16 carries. And it's going to be 30 or 40 passes from Patrick Mahomes. And that's going to be number four. He's going to need Rashee Rice to be open, be reliable. He only had three drops last season, but the three drops were in big moments. Remember from Rashee Rice, they were huge drops. You felt them way bigger. You look at the stats. Wow, he only really dropped three passes. Yeah, but they were on third downs. They were in big moments against big teams in the fourth quarter. We can't have that from the number one wide receiver on this team. He was on pace for 1,200 or 1,300 yards last season. I want that to be him this year. If it's 1,100 because of the knee injury, maybe starts off a little slower the first couple weeks, that's fine. But this offense needs a 1,000-yard receiver. They haven't had one since Tyreek Hill. This is the year to break that streak, and I think Rashee Rice is the one to do it, and he is going to be the one who's on the field the most as far as receivers are concerned. He's going to be on the field more than anyone besides Ken Walker. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Mahomes and the offensive line.
Well, I'll say this about, you know, Mr. Rice out there getting the job done, making sure he catches the balls when he needs to catch the balls. His job becomes easier if the running game's effective.
100%.
You know, it really does. No doubt. I mean, football is such a great game because everything has an impact on everything else.
It's all connected.
I mean, it really is. Like, and you can say there, I don't believe that. Yes, if I don't play well on defense, then I'm forcing my offense to have to play a different game than they anticipated playing in that game today. Or if I'm playing great on defense and I'm getting three and outs and my offense is going three and out, well, now I'm gassed on defense. I can't continue to get these three and outs if you're not going to keep the ball. So there's no other sport, maybe basketball, I don't know, but I think football, where it's just so complementary, where everything really truly does affect everything else, whether you're playing offense, defense, or special teams, it doesn't matter. Everything has an impact on everything else. And so for me, I would love Rashee Rice to be this guy, but he can't be that guy until Andy Reid allows Kenneth Walker to be that guy, which in turn will allow Rashee Rice to be that guy. To me, that's the transitive property in all of this, because if they become one-dimensional, whatever that dimension is, it ain't going to work.
Over under 18 and a half carries week one for Ken Walker.
Is that the number?
No.
Oh.
I just made it up. Feel like it was a decent number.
I'm going to say over, but I'm also going to say, you know what they're also going to tell you? Well, he's going to have touches. No, it does not count. Running back catches this year, I don't care about, because that does not mess with the defense.
Yep.
Running the football is what keeps the defense honest. I hate the RPO. The RPO is kind of getting like analytics with me in baseball.
Well, yeah,
I'm out.
The game changed, you know, the game changed. Andy Reid was the one who brought it into the league, and it was fantastic for those first few years, and it was what propelled this offense, but now it has changed. Defenses have caught up. It is time to run the football. The run-pass thing that they always talk about, we've got these plays in our playbook.
The run is extension to the pass.
Yeah, we got pass runs. Like, no. Runs and passes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, we got to separate that stuff. I'm not in on the, well, he had 37 touches. Yeah, there were two rushes.
Yeah.
I need rushes from Ken Walker. So yeah, I'll take the over, because it has to be. I think it has to be the over.
I think week one is an over. It's the Broncos, it's that pass rush. It's Mahomes' first game. I'll go over 18.5. I think he has 20 carries that first game. They really use him.
Yeah. What channel is that game on? ESPN, right?
That'll be Monday night. Yeah, ESPN.
Because I could see Collinsworth going, see, Mike, now you see why he was the Super Bowl MVP.
Mike, he's so good.
Troy Aikman. Kind of reminds me of Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, exactly. Always.
Right?
Always.
Hey, did you see Emmitt in the locker room, though? Yes, because his son's a running back on the team for the Chiefs.
Yes, I did. That was awesome.
How cool. Emmett and his wife were in there pointing to their son's name. I kind of shed a tear a little bit. That's a proud parent moment.
That was really cool.
That's special, man.
That is.
Greatest running back maybe ever is hanging out in the Chiefs locker room and pointing to his son's locker. That. Come on now. Get goosebumps thinking about that. And I don't like Emmitt Smith because he's a Cowboy. But I love him because he's a dad.
Because he's a dad.
He's a dad.
And it seems like a really good one, too.
Yeah, and it changes your whole perspective on everything. You know, it really does. Coming up here on 96.5, The Fan. Oh, look, gamesmanship going on in San Francisco, and I got to be honest with you, I love him for doing it. We'll tell you what's going on next.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Ken Walker III, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Back to wrap it up on a Tuesday morning here on 96.5 The Fan. Alex and Cody are up in St. Joe. They'll get you at 10 o'clock. Jake Bringingstool will be over with them today as we get closer and closer and closer to the end of training camp up in St. Joe. Should end this week, if I'm not mistaken, right? And everybody's back for their games, and then they bring the camp over here to Arrowhead for the last couple of weeks before we get set for the start of the regular season. So, St. Joe, take care. You know, that went fast. I'm sure not for the guys that are practicing every day. It doesn't go fast. But for me, I'm like, man, that was a quick trip up there to St. Joe. So this will be the last week for it.
Yep, last day Thursday.
And pour one out for St. Joe.
See you later, St. Joe.
And then they travel on, I would imagine, Friday to get to the game, play Saturday, come back, obviously, and then get set in here at Arrowhead.
And you're back until the season, maybe.
You're back to the season, and you got that game on Friday at Arrowhead, a week from Friday. And so then after that, it's time to kind of focus in and get ready to go. This San Francisco stuff, as good as the L.A. stuff is getting right now with ownership and sports out there, that is – I mean, season three of the Righteous Gemstones is happening right before our eyes with this Buss family stuff right now, right? Mm-hmm. There's six siblings. Five of them voted yesterday to sell the rest of the Lakers, and Jeannie Buss is like, nope, my vote supersedes everything. We're keeping the team. She's hired, who did I say, Barry Manilow? Barbara Streisand's son. Yeah, son is the lawyer. So now Streisand's involved, which is great. And she's telling everybody her vote matters more than anybody's, and she's not selling the team. So you've got that drama. The actual owner of everything LA sports, the Dodgers and the Lakers, that guy's getting, you know, he's screwed because he's had to sell three professional sports teams basically in the last week because the Dodgers will be up for sale next. So that mess is going on out there in LA. And then down the road in San Francisco, not only do you have 20 guys that are hurt, you've got a power station that is killing people down there injury-wise to their football team. And now Christian McCaffrey raises his hand and goes, I think I need some more money.
Yeah, sorry. We've got this evil substation. Yeah, you're going to have to pay me some more. It's ridiculous.
So Christian McCaffrey is out with tightness. Mm-hmm. And Pro Football Talk, this is where I love the Mike Florio stuff, he's saying that a lot of people out there are calling it a hold-in for Christian McCaffrey because he's reading the room right now, right? He's looking around and saying, yeah, I've outplayed my current deal. There's no question about that. 95% of the weapons on this team are hurt. The coach is injured, for God's sakes.
I know. I'm glad he's back.
Got the substation over here doing their thing. All these other running backs just got paid. Yeah, I got to pull.
Yeah, sorry, I got a leg. Sorry, man.
And I'm here for this because if I'm Christian McCaffrey, this is the last chance you're going to get, most likely, to get paid.
Yeah, this would be, if I was the GM, if I was John Lynch of the Niners, and I wouldn't be liked as a GM a lot of the time because I would be trading players.
Yeah.
I'd be trading Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey
right
would be traded
now. Christian McCaffrey is
traded. I'm glad you're on my side with this because I trade
gone.
Everybody.
Christian McCaffrey's gone. George Kittle. He's 32. He's coming off an Achilles tear. I'm trading him.
Yeah. He's like, got a non-guaranteed $12.5 million, and then they have an out after this season. Do the San Francisco 49ers with Christian McCaffrey.
So this is the time to do
this. This is the actual time to trade Christian McCaffrey.
No, this is the time to trade Christian McCaffrey. He's, what, 30 years old or so? He's a running back, which means he's 60. He's been an MVP candidate these last two seasons. You are selling high on Christian McCaffrey. Your window's closed, man. Your window's closed. We're talking about Devon Stribling as your best wide receiver this season, which, like, for you know, fantasy football players, that sounds great, but like that's not what we really want. So like the window's done. You're done. The NFC is going to be taken over by the Seahawks and the Rams in your division.
In your
by
division,
the way,
yeah.
Like we haven't even talked about the NFC North, which got some teams that are going to contend as well. Like I'm just kind of like the Cowboys are going to be good. I'm just like, you should sell on these teams. Sell on these guys right now. Restart.
Look, man, every team should do that.
Yes,
in any sport.
Yes.
When you're up against it and you got a couple of valuable assets and you don't see yourself winning, move.
Yep.
Trade these guys. I love the fact that you said trade Christian McCaffrey because I get behind that right away. You have to know when to bounce out of players. Being a GM, as you mentioned, is hard. There's no question it's hard. You have to evaluate basically every single player in that sport and figure out where they are and where they're going. And it's one thing to say, I think this guy's going to be good. But the hardest job of a GM is understanding when a guy has maxed out and move on from him. And I've always said, and the best GMs will tell you, you'd rather be a year too early on getting rid of a guy than a year too late.
Bill Belichick.
Yes. That's a Belichick thing, right?
That's the Belichickism.
You'd rather be a year too early than a year too late. And fans have a hard time understanding that. Believe me, I know. I've suggested trading everybody in the city and have no problem suggesting trading everybody because that's what's going on. Teams get calls all the time about every single player that they have. And you have to listen. You have to talk. You have to have those conversations because if you just immediately say no, you don't know what you're passing up. You don't know what the opportunity is out there. And so you've got to listen to everything. I think you're right about trading Christian McCaffrey. Now is the perfect. That's a great point by you.
And you could get some really
good stuff. I didn't think of that one.
You could get some really good stuff for Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you could get potentially a first-round pick for a guy like Christian McCaffrey. A contender would step up. Or you
would you make a trade for Christian McCaffrey? If you were another team, would you trade for him? And what would you give up? Because I don't think you're getting a first-round draft pick for a 30-year-old running
back. For a 30-year-old running back, you get a second-round pick, though, Christian McCaffrey. He was an MVP candidate last year. He's an offensive player of the year candidate every year. I think you're getting a second-round pick for him and probably a fourth or a fifth-round pick. Just off the top of my head, NFL trades are so weird, so it's not like NBA. But, I would trade for him if I was a contender who needed a running back. I'm trying to think about who that guy is.
Would you trade for him if you're the Chiefs?
No, they have Ken Walker. But if they didn't have Ken Walker, something else. Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah, I would. Like, even if I'm the Rams. Like, hey, do you want Kyren Williams?
Wow. I just asked Gemini what a fair trade value is for Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
And I'm just going to read you what they say. Okay. Trading McCaffrey would yield a return significantly below what the 49ers originally gave up to acquire him, a second, third, fourth, and fifth round pick. Now, boy, he's 6 years younger then, right?
Yeah.
Expected return realistically centers on a day two draft pick, third round, or a conditional mid-round pick that can elevate to a second rounder along with major financial relief.
So a second rounder, maybe.
Third round pick, conditional, realistic benchmark, a third round pick plus a conditional fifth round pick. Best case scenario, late second round pick. Player plus pick package would be a fourth round pick plus a quality depth player. You're not going to get a lot for Christian McCaffrey, it sounds like. Again, 30-year-old running back with an out after this year on his contract, you know?
It's way less than what they had, but
you're never going to get back.
You never
what you
get
gave
back
up.
What you gave up, and they didn't. They didn't succeed, right? They didn't get to the Super Bowl. They got to the Super Bowl.
Well, they went to two Super Bowls with McCaffrey, right? Just one.
Mm-hmm.
The first Chiefs Super Bowl, they didn't have Christian McCaffrey.
Nope.
Oh,
no, they did not.
Okay.
So this was overall fail. Like, you made a couple NFC championships, you made one Super Bowl. This is the time now to sell. And if you can get a second round pick and a fifth round pick, I would do that. If you can,
what about a third and a fifth? Though? That's the realistic benchmark. Third and fifth.
No, I need it to be a second round pick.
Yeah,
I need it to be a second round pick for Christian McCaffrey. 913 says the Broncos should call. 100% they should. Mm. Yes.
Hey, they should not.
No, they shouldn't. But I know what you mean. Absolutely.
No,
no,
it's a great call by
that.
You. But no, don't give anybody any ideas.
No, yeah, don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that. But yeah, if I'm a contender, like if I'm, I don't know, like the Packers and Josh Jacobs is a little bit older, like. Yeah, I'm calling him if I'm the, I don't know, and trying to do
Bills?
That.
Bills?
James Cook's so good.
Yeah.
James Cook's so good.
But I'm just thinking the lack of weapons, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Who's the wide receiver they got this year? DJ Moore, right?
DJ Moore.
They're making a big deal. Oh, DJ Moore.
I mean,
it was a down and out pattern for 7 yards, and they're like, you could see the connection these two have. It was a freaking basic football play.
Yeah, it was simple. It is going to help them, but it's like...
So that's what I'm saying. They're trying to hype up options. Maybe they don't have options in Buffalo other than James Cook.
And, you know, if you're the Bills, you just get Christian McCaffrey and James Cook and use McCaffrey or Cook, whichever one's not the running back at that time, as a wide receiver. They're both so good at catching.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Catching passes and running routes, that would actually be awesome.
Not for us.
No, not for us.
Not for us at all. So No, there's. I mean, that's interesting to potentially trade Christian McCaffrey. I like that, but I also love the fact that he's holding out on this one. And you may see Christian McCaffrey at some point too say, you know what? I don't want to be traded. I want to stay here. And then he ends up staying there. But thinking about potentially moving on from Christian McCaffrey at the age of 30 with this year and an out year after this contract year and a bigger contract hitting the books, yeah, it makes a lot of sense, Max. Great point. I'd trade him too.
Fun day, Bob.
Yes, it was. We'll be back tomorrow. Alex and Cody are up next. They are in St. Joe. Drew, keep them in line because he's the brains of the operation. They're next.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.